General William T. Sherman with the Union Army was headed south from Chattanooga on May 7th, I think is when he left Chattanooga, capture Atlanta, you know, divide the South, interrupt the rail lines to damage the Confederate forces. Coming down from Chattanooga, my understanding is he's using a series of flanking maneuvers against the Confederate Army.
That's right. Sherman had a numerical advantage. He had roughly 100,000 men. His Confederate counterpoint, General Joseph Johnston, had about 60,000 men. So it seemed like a large numerical advantage for the Union forces. Yet Sherman had to keep people behind to maintain the rail lines that were so important. And Johnston began this flanking maneuver. It was not to kind of defeat Sherman militarily, but to avoid defeat and consequently affect public opinion, editorial opinion in the North. As late as the summer of that year, Abraham Lincoln did not think he was going to be reelected. And so there was this flanking, series of flanking movements on both sides, all the way down from Chattanooga to just north of Atlanta and Cobb County near Kennesaw.
Yeah, they have battles in Resaca, Cassville, Pickett's Mill, New Hope Church, and they get to Kennesaw Mountain, and that's sort of like the stopgap. The Union Army really can't get around Johnston anymore, can they?
Right. Well, Sherman, though, feels that he has an opportunity at Kennesaw to launch a frontal assault. He thinks the Confederate lines are spread so thin that he actually can go forward. Well, there were Confederate forces entrenched on top of the mountain. It's mountainous terrain. It's hard to go in. And frankly, it's a calamity for the Union forces. There are roughly 3,000 Union casualties and roughly 1,000 Confederate casualties. It's perhaps the bloodiest day of the entire Atlanta campaign, and Sherman vows never again to launch a frontal assault.
Yeah, it begins on June 27th. I think it concludes on July 2nd. So it's a six-day battle, and as you say, there's a lot of casualties, and technically it's a defeat for Sherman, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's huge losses that they suffer, again, roughly 3,000 men. Within 2 days, though, after Kennesaw, the Union forces are knocking on the door of the Chattahoochee River, you know, and they're just about ready to launch the actual assault into Atlanta.
Johnston eventually, because of Sherman's success after Kennesaw Mountain, is relieved of his command, isn't he?
Johnston is basically a defensive-minded general, and you can certainly argue this until the cows come home about the proper strategy. This was increasingly an irritant to Confederate President Jefferson Davis, who replaced Johnston shortly before the actual Battle of Atlanta with a much more fiery General John Bell Hood, who was anything but defensive, we'll put it that way. And again, military historians, military buffs can argue that forever, whether that was a good thing or not. Certainly Johnston was beloved by his men because he didn't recklessly put their life in danger. But it was a key change in the leadership of the Confederate forces right before the Battle of Atlanta.
So for close to 2 months before the Kennesaw Mountain Battle and then eventually the Battle of Atlanta, Atlantans know what's coming. Sherman's coming. It's not a secret.
That's right.
And Atlanta at that time, it struck me as weird. The city only had about 20,000 people, which is about the population of Decatur today.
Atlanta, before the Civil War, 1860, had a population of about 9 or 10,000. It's interesting that wars turn out to be urbanizing experiences, and there were refugees who came into Atlanta. There were soldiers passing through, and it became a manufacturing center second only to Richmond in importance to the Confederacy, and all sorts of things were produced here in Atlanta that served the Confederate Army. It also was strategically important because it linked railroads north and south as well as east and west. So it had a prominence well out of proportion to its population, which was close to 20,000 by the time of the war, a growing population from the 9,000 at the beginning.
So both armies are coming south from Tennessee, Sherman and then Johnston doing the flanking maneuvering. What's the effect on the folks in the countryside as this is going through?
Well, it continues what already has been a devastating situation for poor white families in North Georgia. Remember, you're talking about a part of the state that was far removed from the plantation regime, where most families did not own slaves, something important to remember, and those who did customarily had under five slaves. So a very different kind of profile than you would have had in the plantation districts. So characteristically, you would have had these self-sufficient farms living pretty close to the bone with a large vegetable garden, maybe some fruit trees, some wheat and some corn, some sweet potatoes, some livestock, little tobacco, maybe a little bit of cotton just for homespun, where the women would spin themselves into clothing. So people already living close to the bone. And even before Sherman begins his Atlanta campaign, had suffered tremendously. rampant inflation during the early years of the war. The men, of course, off at war, without slaves to harvest the crops, the women desperate to kind of bring in the harvest while their husbands are off at war. You had impressment where the Confederate government took a tenth of all of the agricultural surplus, you know, that farmers had and confiscated it for the army.
Did this promote sort of a anti-Confederate, pro-Union sentiment in North Georgia?
Well, you see, especially as the war grows on, a growing number of deserters, you know, without a doubt. You also see desperate times leading to all sorts of desperate measures. You see a rise in prostitution around Atlanta, for instance, as women are just desperate. You see food riots in Marietta and elsewhere, really interesting. Women steal food, hold up supply wagons, often at gunpoint, knife point, and confiscate food for their families. 51% of Georgia's budget by 1863, so before Sherman comes south, is for welfare. And it's mainly counties in North Georgia that have just been incredibly impacted that need salt and corn and so forth to feed starving families. And this is even before the actual battle. Clearly, in the aftermath of the battle itself, things get even worse. And farms are decimated and acreage destroyed, livestock destroyed. And you have just this immense poverty in the aftermath of the war that characterizes the South really for another 100 years.
As Sherman said, war is hell.
War is hell.
Cliff Keown, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.